news, everyone.
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
It's all in.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is week 11. All in Football is ready for Fantasy Football Week 11. It's already here. We're in the back half. This is now the time that everything's a must-win game, Chris Meany.
And if yes, it is.
If you want to continue to win, or if you want to just get other advice on other sports and other types of things, you can go to The Athletic, check out all the columns, or you can go over to the FTN, get code ALLIN, and get you 20% off. No matter what, you can get some discounts. Oh, and by the way, if you want to, we're not like one of those like check out our fake bets, blah blah blah. Actually, the only thing between I say that for me, not for Meany, legitimately you should pay attention to for hockey bets and stuff like that, like 100%. But we still have that sleeper thing going on, right? Still the sleeper sign up over at FTN,
that's right?
Get $100 deposit, and it's not like one of those like $100, and if you finally spent it a billion times, it finally kicks back later down. Like it's legitimately like 100%. The bonus as soon as you sign up. So, anyway, I love Jiggles with a comment. Yes, somebody asked me who had the safest floor this week. That was the question. There was no players involved. It was just, who has the safest floor this week? And I was like, Chris McCaffrey.
Gotta be CMC. Has to be. Even not getting a touchdown last week has to be CMC. He'll start a new streak this week.
So, we do have breaking news. Finally, as we come on the show, instead of actually we end the show, Deshaun Watson done for the year.
He's gone. For the year.
Oh, you missed this? Yeah, he's done for
the year. I saw this morning that he was out, but I didn't know it was.
Oh, no, he's out for the year. He's now done for the year. So, being one of the worst deals in trades in history of football, aside, it's now P.J. Walker for the rest of the way. Hell, because it's P.J. Walker, and not, I'm not saying that like P.J. Walker, whatever, like they might evaluate Thompson Robinson again just because I'm saying like they know P.J. Walker's not a potential option or a potential trade piece. I'm just saying like that we might get Thompson Robinson is my point here. Like, so you have Cleveland Browns, specifically Amari Cooper. I mean, this hurts. Elijah Moore goes right back from being a waiver. Hey, absolutely. Maybe there's some value here to like, okay, well, that was fun for a brief 24 hours. What about Jerome Ford and Amari Cooper? Are you trying to get the hell out of this? Meany, because I feel like if you might have this narrow window where maybe your league's not paying attention or hasn't woken up and seen the news or just checks the app before they check Twitter and missed this and you try to get them off your team, or is it just at this point most people are going to find out? And then you can't, it's like the Saquon Barkley trade value. Like everybody knows. So what can you really get?
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer. Definitely. I first think of Elijah Moore because we did chat about him yesterday or on Monday. And the first few weeks of the season, he was getting looks from Deshaun Watson. Then he just disappeared altogether. Yeah, I would try to get out everywhere, wherever I could. I think Amari could be fine. There were some decent games with him. I mean, looking at the game log, he's had at least 6 targets in every single game but one. A majority of these games, he's had at least 8 targets. You got to go, I mean, week 5 against Zona, he had only had 5, but he caught all 5 of them for over 139. He had 139 yards and a touchdown, so it was a good game from him. I think he'll still get a bunch of looks, and the matchups are okay. But for the running backs, they're not the best. I know you got Pittsburgh this week, and then Denver next week is a good one, but Chicago, we talked about the Bears. That's week 15. Week 14 is Jacksonville. I don't know what they do. I'm surprised they weren't in the market for like maybe Jacoby Brissett, who was in the system last year, because what they threw out over the past couple of weeks without Deshaun Watson was actually, believe it or not, worse than Deshaun Watson. So I would try to move. I mean, it's a healthy body forward. Kareem Hunt is like just getting touchdowns because they're getting the ball inside the red zone. But how much is this team going to live inside the red zone? So it's a tough blow. Tough blow.
Let me ask you a toss-up question. Which of these moops would you rather have? Elijah Moore or Rondell Moore? For the rest of the season.
Give me Rondell. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of life in Arizona with Kyler. So I'm not excited about him. I think that there could be something with Michael Wilson down the stretch of the season. I believe he's still a good buy low.
Yeah, but I didn't ask about him. We know him with Michael Wilson. I just want to know.
But I'd rather Michael than Rondell. But I'd rather Rondell than Elijah.
Seinfeld reference.
You were, which, and I dig it.
And also in my column this week, I did the top 10 series finales, the finales like in the 2000s. And I prefaced it by the fact that, no, I haven't. I never watched The Sopranos. I never watched The Wire. Actually, I watched 3 episodes of The Wire. Everybody's about to click off the show when I'm about to say this. I didn't get into The Wire. I didn't think The Wire, like, it just didn't catch me. Like, one of these days I might go back and be like, hey, maybe I'll give it another shot. I just didn't, it didn't get me at the time, and I think it was into other things. So, of course, the hate. But I just love when people hate. Look, you don't have to like Big Bang Theory. I enjoyed it. I watched it with my mom, early 20s, growing up. Like, it's one of those shows we did together. And everybody's like, the laugh track, because they think the audience is stupid. Oh, Seinfeld had a laugh track. Friends had a laugh track. Frasier had, like, all.
They
like,
all had laugh.
Laugh track was a thing until, like, the mid-2000s. Like, yeah. Let's relax. Yeah, that doesn't mean, like, people love to hate that show. Like, it's not even like they, like, I can sit here and be like, you know what? You like this. I didn't like this. Like, I didn't get into The Wire, but I understand why everybody loves it. Like, what? But people are like, you like Big Bang Theory. You're the dumbest piece of shit on the face of the earth.
I like the show too. I thought it was a good show. And since you mentioned Seinfeld, and I know it's not in here, and a lot of people trash that ending, I thought it was great. I thought the Seinfeld? Ending of Seinfeld was fantastic because
you're on the island for that. I'm not coming for you.
No, yeah, that's fine. But I'd like to see all the memories, all the old characters that popped up through the entire show, like the bad stuff that they did to all of them. I thought it was great, man. Like, how are you going to end a show when it's a sitcom like that? It's tough to end those kind of shows. So they did a good job.
So I want to talk about one more injury thing before we get into, because there's a lot. So we have Justin Fields maybe come back. It's like, it was so weird. It's like, hey, he's going to come back after the bye. And then like, not yet. It's a short week. And now we head to bed last night, like around two, like it was late Tuesday night. And they're all of a sudden like, Justin Fields, he might not be ready this week. Like what the hell's happening over here? Is this like legitimate? No. The only thing I can think is one of two things. Well, I guess there's really three scenarios. The third scenario is they're really telling the truth. One is they're just wanting to protect them because they do say, you know what, maybe we go into the draft with either like the thinking people had for the Cardinals where it's like maybe they use him to trade him away in a contract deal, or they do want him still to be their quarterback because they're looking at the draft class and you're like, you know what, we can fill so many other areas that we need help with and Fields can be the answer. Anyway, point being, it's just weird. Khalil Herbert should be back. Damian Pierce, big question mark. Nico Collins, I would assume back. And then Matthew Stafford with his thumb. And then we get the great Devon Achane is back, finally. Nice. There's excitement for that, which we're going to talk about. But the one injury that I think is interesting in this list is that I was going back in waivers. And the Michael Thomas situation, do you have any injury? I know we don't normally talk waivers because we did on Monday, but we kind of glossed past it. Are you interested in A.T. Perry? Like, I'm just surprised that I got him for zero fab in so many places.
Jump in. I thought that was going to be the case because they're on bye this week. And I think that's really just it. They're on bye, uncertain about Michael Thomas. He may be ready to go. Who's the quarterback? But I think, you know, it's a free pickup.
Oh, it's Derek Carr. It's 100. They give him a 4-year deal of 200, whatever it was.
If he's fine, but it's still the same 200? Shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
He paid him. He paid him. They paid him. And if he's ready to go, it's going to be him for sure. But I know it was the same shoulder, right? The AC joint that he suffered a couple weeks ago that he powered through. And it sounded like originally it was going to be a 2 to 4 week thing. But I think it's just like a deep, I don't know, maybe not even a deep league stash. Somebody you can pick up this morning. Maybe you picked up Elijah Moore and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm not interested anymore. I'll take a flyer here. I'm not sure. Michael Thomas sounds week to week, right? So there's an opportunity for him, I think, next
serious
week.
Knee injury, but not season ending, which makes it sound like 2, 3, 4 weeks, like multiple weeks.
He could legitimately be the number two. Like Olave is going to be the one. Kamara is going to get all of his looks. And then after that, you know, it's just kind of here's Rashid Shaheed in certain spots.
Shaheed. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Like he is.
It's just he's extremely like he's basically like in the Quentin Johnson conversation is that like he just might not be like ready. But to circle back, there was this. Here's one more injury. This person has been injured for a while and been killing somebody else's value by being injured. And he got arrested. Zay Jones. He might not be coming back at all. The reason I say this is because Michael Thomas that we talked about on the waiver show is droppable. Like, you know, like why are you going to wait? He was a floor guy anyway. He was a wide receiver four. He was essentially Elijah Moore, just with the name, the bigger name, or the bigger expectations too. So people, we gave the pass. We said, go ahead, drop Michael Thomas if you need help elsewhere. I think somebody in the comments, I'm trying to scan and do this at the same time, but I think somebody said drop for Jaden Reed. No problem with that. The question I have, would you drop Calvin Ridley now? Because Zay Jones is not coming back. And that's what I was saying. Zay Jones is ruining Calvin Ridley's, like, because Calvin Ridley's not, this was my concern heading into this season. I got plenty of things wrong. This is one of the things I got right, was that, I mean, although I still had him inside my top 25, but I was concerned and wasn't drafting him as a wide receiver one like a lot of people were, because I didn't think that what we saw in Atlanta and who he is somebody who can handle being a number one. He needs somebody across from him. But Christian Kirk could be across, but he's not really across from him because of the style is not really complementary to helping Calvin Ridley like Zay Jones' style is. All that being said, Calvin Ridley's been, he's been honestly one of the biggest disappointments this year. Outside of Devontae Adams, like, that's the conversation. Would you do the sabotage drop like Christian Watson and let somebody else pick him up and then try to throw him in the lineup? Or do you think you could still get trade value out of him?
I think you could still actually get trade value out of him because of his name. Yeah. I mean, he's had a couple decent games. And I think basically just because of that, I wouldn't drop him, but I don't feel great about starting him. I look ahead at some of this, the matchups that the Jacksonville Jaguars have. It gets tough, right? We talk about Trevor Lawrence as a sell high candidate at one point. And I think this is an all right spot against the Titans. But after that, I believe they got the Ravens, the Browns. So there's some tough matchups ahead.
Look at the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's, I think, yeah, I know that
Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Carolina. And Carolina's pass defense is not a great matchup. Their run defense is a great matchup.
Yeah, but I still don't think I would drop him just because, like, who are you picking up for him that's going to have a higher ceiling?
Jaden Reed? Would you rather have Jaden Reed or Calvin Ridley?
No, I'd rather have, yeah. But I agree with the...
Here's one.
Throwing Reed out. He should be owned.
Calvin Ridley or Noah Brown?
I still think I would go Calvin Ridley there. But I would be playing Noah Brown this week if there's no Nico Collins.
And last question before we get into the ranks. I was still Calvin Ridley. I would try to trade him, though. Like you said, there's still name value.
There is.
Maybe, and that's the thing, is like you're kind of hoping for a good game. But, I mean, basically, the waivers this week were Noah Brown, Quentin Johnson, Jalen Guyton, and then, like, Romeo Doubs, who's been there forever. Michael Wilson has been there forever. Are there any we'll go back to it, because it was a weak waiver week. I was looking through Flex, and I still haven't tweeted the pictures yet, but it was, like, half defenses across. Like, that's how you know it's a bad one. Like, so, is Ridley, would you drop for anybody we talked about in waivers this week?
No.
Okay. No. All right. That's fair. And then the last piece I was going to say, because those defenses made me think of this, a week 11 is still about a week or two early for me, especially like a lot of leagues haven't even hit your trade deadline yet. So there's still moves to be made. But when is your turning point to start thinking about stashing two defenses? And because there's not one single defense out there for the rest of the way that you're like, I'm starting them week in, week out, unless you have like Dallas. And that obviously that's not who's stashing a second defense. I'm talking about the people who have been streaming, like playing the Saints or the Titans or Washington or Miami, by the way, who like was a good pickup last week with, you know, bye with the two games they have coming up this week and next. But is this about the time you start thinking about that? Start thinking about a backup quarterback? Is it too early for you? Is now about the time?
No, now's the time. Okay. And I'm glad you brought this up. And I think the defense to pick up, and I picked them up everywhere. I talked about this on Mean Streets. Nobody wanted to roster them against the Chargers. They had -2 points, but it's Detroit. And I know that they were a pickup in Flex. I know people were going after Washington. But Detroit this week, I mean, they got Chicago, then the Packers, then the Saints, then Chicago, Denver. Russ has been pretty good. And then Minnesota. So there's some good matchups there.
Yeah, the championship game is not what you want.
The championship game, you'll just figure it out.
The Cowboys.
In one of my leagues, I have Detroit and the Saints. I'm still hanging on to the Saints. I know that they'll probably get dropped because they're on bye, but I'm going to play the matchups between both of those teams.
I'll give you one.
You look at New Orleans, Carolina, and the Giants week 14, week 15. You don't want to play them against Detroit. You could play them against Atlanta out of the bye.
If I gave you a hint right now, you do not want to play this defense in week 15, but you really want to most games outside of that, but particularly week 16 and 17. Do you know what defense I'm talking about?
No, not off the top of my head.
Week 15, they play the Dolphins. And then they get Washington and Cleveland to finish things out. Yeah, the New York Jets.
Ah, yeah. I mean, they got some players, man, defensively. Even against a good team, they can make some things happen. We've seen that a couple times.
Philly finishes with the Giants in Arizona. There's one. If he could, I mean, Kyler Murray, even in good games, can be turnover prone.
And who else was there? People will probably drop the Eagles, Jake, because KC this week, Buffalo and San Fran, Philly may be on the waiver wire.
I got one more for you. Would you risk this one to stash it? The Rams, Saints, or actually Commanders, Saints, Giants. That might be on paper the nicest thing you ever saw in weeks for opposing defense.
That's probably, yeah, the best quote unquote streaming option. Out of all the ones that we're talking about, that defense will be on the wire, and those are some pretty good matchups come playoff time, yeah.
I lied. I'll give you one more. Would you risk this one? Would you risk this defense? Because the defense itself isn't intriguing, but the Tennessee Titans, Cleveland Browns, and Tennessee Titans, there's a big hint to who it is. Would you, Texans? Would you go as far as the Texans?
Playing a rookie quarterback twice in 3 weeks? Yeah. Okay. D'Amico Ryans has the guys playing.
You know,
man,
what's an insane number, by the way? So I was out there defending all these people. All of a sudden, like, oh, Josh Allen's trash. They need to do something about it. Like, even Stephon Diggs, Trayvon Diggs was out there poking fun, being like, until brother got there, he wasn't any good. Like, everybody came for Josh Allen after Monday night.
I feel for Allen at the moment.
It was absurd. And so I pulled it up, and that because people are like, the turnovers, he's leading the league. But if you look at percentage, he's still middle of the pack. The middle of the pack being with names like Lamar Jackson. Okay, look, fine, whatever. Okay, how about being with names like Matthew Stafford and Trevor Lawrence and other quarterbacks that people consider top 10? He's in that range because Josh Allen takes risks. Here's the insane one, because you said Will Levis. I just wanted to bring that up. Will Levis is actually at the bottom in percentage of interceptions and fumbles lost for turnovers. But he has the second highest, 7%, that's an insane number, by the way, of interceptable passes thrown. And yet he hasn't thrown, like, he's getting lucky so far, basically, is what it's saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's
the
Brock Purdy from earlier this year. This is about to correct, and it's about to get ugly.
It will, yeah, and especially when teams focus in on DeAndre Hopkins, and his second best option is Kyle Phillips, right, who plays like 30% of the snaps. So, it is going to get ugly. You know, people are all over Josh Allen, and I think he deserves a lot of the criticism that he is getting. Yeah, I see it. Mr. Nice Guy is also leading the NFL in touchdowns. He has a rushing touchdown here and there. But the way that he plays his style, I don't know if that was on the offensive coordinator, but they need more.
They blamed him.
It needs to be a little bit more methodical with their drives and the way that they run their offense, because it's just – they don't need to be chucking the ball around all the time. It very much is too predictable. It's like Stephon Diggs and who else? And then when you saw Surtain take away Stephon Diggs, it's Allen's forcing the ball. They didn't need to throw the football against Denver to beat them. Every team in the NFL has been running all over them. Just run the
football.
Like,
the Denver defense is significantly better. Like, it's actually top 10 since the middle of the season against the pass.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's
still
number one in the last 4 weeks, which is remarkable.
It's actually poor against the run. Like, that you should still be.
Just run the ball.
James Cook put the ball on the ground 15 times. Like, granted, one of them was actually Josh Allen.
The way it bounced back on it, like he was dribbling. Did you see that one when he's running and it just hits
the fact that it dribbled, I was like, wait a second, is that legal? Are you allowed to do that?
Wow,
like, if
you
were just running
down
the field and purposely did that, like,
you couldn't do that. Like, if you try that 10 times, that ball wouldn't bounce back to you like that. I mean, maybe half the time, but for the most part, it's bouncing forward or sideways. But it was crazy. It was a wild
game. All right, so I have a question. Do you believe, Chris, I mean, this is not like two truths and a lie. This is just a straight up, do you believe?
All right.
So we had Sean Payton, straight up lie, 1,000%. We saw it coming. It almost is laughable, the fact that he had one touch and it was a carry. But so we had Sean Payton. We've had Sean Payton do this to us before. But now we have Harbaugh saying Keaton Mitchell deserves more. Do you believe that's going to equate to getting more opportunities? Because if he's getting more opportunities, as it stands, he's one of the riskiest RB3s, but also one of the RB3s, arguably the RB3 with the highest ceiling.
Definitely.
But four touches is four touches. If you gave me eight, I'd be like top 25, like just eight.
Yeah.
But do you believe that that's actually going to happen?
I do. I do believe that, maybe not eight. Can we get six? But I do believe he's going to get more touches. I believe Harbaugh. How could you not, actually, when you watch him play? The speed that he brings to the table is just a different element than what they have with Justice Hill. and Gus Edwards. So I believe he's a really good stash. I also believe that he's a good buy, sell high, just like we talked about. I floated him out in a couple of my leagues. No bites at the moment, but maybe if he has a good couple moments here in this Thursday night football game against the Bengals on primetime, everybody will see the speed that he has. Yeah, man, they use him in a wheel route situation in the end zone. You can tell that when, it's just 2 weeks ago, he had three runs of at least 30 yards, one that he topped 40. So I don't think he's fully going to go away, or these other guys are going to go away. But I do believe that he is headed for more touches. Got to give it to him.
I was about to say, so off the injury, let's bring in, this is rankings right here. I have Deonta Foreman quite a few spots in front of Khalil Herbert first game back. And I talked about it last week. Fair. If it was going to happen, if Herbert was back. I talked about it again this week on waivers, just to say again, Deonta Foreman, don't drop him. I think Deonta Foreman has done way too much to lose that lead role. Like, I think that Khalil Herbert could push himself back to the lead role, but I see this being a 60-40 split, Herbert being the 40% when he comes back. Again, like, why do you go away from what was working? If he was middling up and down, sure, like, slap Herbert right back into the lead, but there's no reason to force the issue. So again, the play could change it. Herbert's play could force Foreman could fall off. But that being said, first game back, would you start Khalil Herbert or Keaton Mitchell, not knowing what his touches are going to be?
Yeah, so you have these guys side by side. I would go Mitchell. I think I would take Mitchell. That may be the wrong call, but I think I would take Mitchell in the ceiling. The fact that he is coming off that injury, what you just said, I fully believe in, that Deonta Foreman is going to get some touches. And it's also not a great matchup against Detroit.
Okay. Then how about the floor of what has been Mr. Consistency? He's essentially Elijah Moore of running backs. He just had a double-digit game for the first time ever. Like, Antonio Gibson, would you just take the guaranteed of Antonio Gibson, or would you take the upside of Keaton Mitchell? I know that's going to be like, well, it depends on how you feel about your roster, but if you just had to pick one.
I think I would pick Keaton Mitchell. Yeah.
Really?
I think I would go Keaton Mitchell. Yeah, it's pretty close, obviously. I think if you're going to tell me it's a full-point PPR, I may lean with Antonio Gibson. He's been catching some passes, but it is against the Giants and they're big favorites. So I would expect it to be a Brian Robinson game, but the last time these two teams played each other, Brian Robinson Jr. had two carries, I think. I don't know what the heck happened in that game, but I would say that it's him, and Antonio Gibson is just a low-end flex play. So just give me the ceiling of Keaton Mitchell.
What's going to happen. Everybody's going right back to Brian Robinson being a top 12 running back. Yeah, this is going to be the week they just go fall
down. This is exactly what happened 3 or 4 weeks ago when that matchup happened. We got excited about Brian Robinson Jr. We talked about him as a top 10 back.
He didn't get banged up in that game, did he?
No.
Because I remember Chris Rodriguez had a lot of carries in that game.
Yeah. And it's not like the game got out of hand. Nobody really scored any points.
No, that was stupid Giants winning a game. And they won 14-6 or 7 or something like that. Brian Robinson had the touchdown, so it was 14-7. Yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't really do anything in that game.
No. The touchdown saved his day. All right. So staying with this conversation, I want to come back to another injury. And we have the Texans have two scenarios. Damian Pierce, assuming coming back, because it sounded like he was close last week, and then it didn't. But a lot of people are asking me if they should drop Damian Pierce. I've already got that answer. I'm like, no. Not only because it has anything to do with, I think Damian Pierce gets back into the lead, if I could say it. It comes down to, we're in week 11. Look at waivers this week. Look at how terrible waivers are. Do not drop immediate backups. I don't even care that Damian Pierce, even with 80% of the workload, is only an RB2/3, depending on your league. You don't drop clear backups at this point because... Hello, Ty Chandler. That's one from last week that I thought was weird as hell. We talked about it on the waiver show. I did the waiver show with Lauren last week, not with you. But I was just like, why is nobody going for Ty Chandler on waivers? I'm not super excited about Ty Chandler, but all it takes is one injury. And then what is everybody doing this week? Chasing Ty Chandler. So don't drop Damian Pierce. But if he's back, do you think he's a 50-50 split? Do you think Singletary did too much last week where it's now 60-40, 70-30? Basically, are you playing Singletary coming off last week's game if Damian Pierce is back?
Yeah, I totally agree that I wouldn't drop Damian Pierce. It's like next man up, like you said. He could be a bell cow back on an offense that's rolling right now. But I would play Singletary ahead of him, even if Pierce, like if Pierce was active and he was returning, I would play Singletary ahead of him. Like a low-end RB2 or a flex play. I think that last week is going to go down as an outlier. Like I'm not buying into the 30 and a buck 50.
Singletary had that four or five games that 2 years ago.
A couple years ago.
Like the guy at the Bills at the end of the year.
I looked at all of his games again. I wanted to see how many times he had 20 carries, and there was like five other times. None last year, but a couple years ago towards the end of the season that you just brought up, there was a three or four game stretch where he had about 20 carries, and it is Arizona, so you can run on the Cardinals. I think that they will say, listen, they've already said that before Pierce really went down. Like they called a motor and he was going to get more touches. It was going to be split.
I brought that up with DeMeco Ryans. He said it was going to be, he said the words,
he
it's
told
going
us.
To be a share.
Yeah. So it's definitely, I think best case for Damian Pierce coming back is a share. And he's going to have to earn, you know, the 60-40 split or 70-30 that it could potentially turn into later on down the season. But I do believe Singletary is the lead against Arizona, RB2, and I wouldn't play Pierce if he was active, but I would. Funny, someone just dropped Pierce, one of my leagues. This is what Jiggle says. This is going to be across the board. He's probably one of the most dropped players in fantasy football as of today.
Oh, that's
there's another question. Can I drop Damian Pierce? Like, it's what everybody is thinking. I know that's why you're a good host. You bring it up.
Live,
you know what I mean?
Live on the show, I'm pulling up right now. I'm going to see the players trend on Sleeper and see if he's one of the most dropped. Let's see. Raiders, Saints, Bears, Falcons. They're all defenses. Deshaun Watson, Will Levis, Zach Moss dropped by 175,000 people. Still haven't even got to Damian Pierce. Michael Thomas, 136,000.
ESPN has him as number 7. ESPN goes Cam Akers, Amari, Daryl Henderson, who, by the way, I think is a pickup this week. Zach Moss, Roshan Johnson, Jeff Wilson, and then
Deonta Foreman's on this league on this list. It's like, why are people dropping Deonta Foreman? Why am I going through puberty as I say this?
And I noticed in a couple of my leagues too, Foreman was dropped before the football game last week. I don't know, people were thinking that Herbert was going to come back, and I was like, scoop this guy up. Let me grab him, and we just talked about him earlier. I would start him over Khalil Herbert this week in a pinch. But yeah, Pierce should be. If you guys see Pierce drop, pick him up and stash him. You just never know.
Yeah, don't start him.
He's never been a consistent lead. So who knows if he can even hold up in this?
Well, then let's do the Devin Singletary thing versus one other player. I already said his name. And look, I'm not saying this for Meanie to be like, haha, Meanie, you're wrong. Like, again, I got stuff wrong. Hello, John Dotson.
Uh-oh.
No, but I want to bring this up because I'm saying it to add the context of you were a fan of this player. So I'm adding that context because if people didn't know and didn't watch preseason stuff like this. So let's go back to Ty Chandler. You were a fan of Ty Chandler. Oh, yeah. We had these preseason conversations about Chandler and that he could push Madison for a split potentially. So he now has the job. This week, Alexander Mattison concussion. I mean, maybe we talked about on Monday, maybe shock of all shocks, he pulls the Brock Purdy. He's the only person who's actually come back. Maybe. But again, you brought that up too, that Brock Purdy was kind of like, it was after the fact. He's like, oh, I kind of feel symptoms or whatever. But would you go Devin Singletary with Damian Pierce back against the Cardinals, or would you go Ty Chandler against the Broncos?
I think I would go Singletary there, but right now those guys are side by side in my rankings, and I do like Chandler. I mean, he probably has more touches, and it is a better matchup, even though the one against Arizona is really good too.
Gaskin to ruin this up. Gaskin's gonna get out.
I like the 15 carries that he got. I like the red zone touch. He has scored a rushing touchdown. Madison hasn't done that all year, and he can catch passes, which is something he didn't do last week either.
He's still on the team. I was just double checking. I was just about to say, I wanted to double check and make sure you know who's taking the touchdown. CJ Ham. We're going to be the CJ Ham touchdown. It happens at least once a year.
And if you told me that Joshua Dubs had more rushing yards than Ty Chandler this week, that wouldn't surprise me either. That's something that I could really see happening. But this is a running back that is going to fall into, I would guess, predict 15 plus opportunities, carries plus targets, in arguably the best matchup that one could have for running back.
Well, then I have another do you believe. This is just like checking facts. This is belief in people talking this week. So We got a report yesterday. It was a weird report that I read like three or four times. Kind of like, this is very weird wording because of how it presented itself. It's like, Jalen Warren is getting the lead job.
Yeah.
In week 10 before the game is when they told, I'm like, wait, what, hold on. Like, are you telling me it's going to happen in week 11 or that it was supposed to happen in week 10? Because in week 10, he wasn't the lead. Like, he might have started, but he still was out-touched and out-snapped by Najee Harris. Now, he was just as productive, actually barely a little bit more productive.
Still looks more explosive.
We know it. But the report was weird because it's like, Jalen Warren, lead running back. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's actually happened for week 11. And they're like, for week 10. I'm like, wait, that just happened. And it didn't actually happen. So, this is a weird scenario. Jalen Warren is supposed to be the lead. Jalen Warren pushed as close... To be fair, he's pushed as close as he has to a 50-50 split last week. It's the closest he's had. It's been a 60-40 the entire year. It was about 52-48, somewhere around there. Do you believe that this is going to continue and that it could flip this week? And given the matchup this week, we've been starting Warren anyway, but... Is Warren in the conversation with Ty Chandler and Devin Singletary, or is the risk still lower because of who they're facing?
Yeah, it's really who they're facing. I think that, you know, I would play Ty Chandler ahead of Warren this week based on just opportunities alone. But, yeah, I don't think that Najee's going to go away. Like, I believe Tomlin, like, we've been talking about this all year long, and he has looked better, and he continues to get more, a little bit more run each and every single week. But I thought Najee looked pretty good last week, man. I thought he hit some holes. He caught more passes than Jalen Warren. He still had his red zone rushing attempts where he converted for a touchdown. So I think that this is just a full-on timeshare the rest of the season, and that both guys are startable and they're both playable, but in a situation where you may have – you're maybe thinking now, Warren or Ty Chandler or Singletary. I would go Singletary, Ty Chandler.
The Browns have given up all four of their rushing touchdowns over the last five games, to be fair.
Yeah, and a couple explosive runs, too.
It was 49ers, which, by the way, it wasn't Christian McCaffrey, just so you know. It wasn't Christian McCaffrey in that
Mason,
game.
It was Mason.
It was Jordan Mason. McCaffrey got the receiving one. Jonathan Taylor had a rushing touchdown. Actually, 18 for 75 and 18 for 57 between Taylor and Zach Moss in that game. Zero for the Kenneth Walker situation. Zero for the Cardinals. I mean, it was Keontae Ingram and Tony Jones. Kind of throw that one to the side. And then they gave up one to Mitchell and Edwards, and they actually would have given up the Edwards one to Justice Hill if Justice Hill's played and called back for a penalty, who actually had it before Gus Edwards got his. All that being said, the Browns still to date, do you know what the highest rushing yards in a game they've given up to date for a running back? Now, granted, this is going to be a giant hit. I mean, it's basically going to give it away. If you combine Taylor and Moss, it's almost 140 yards. So, like, it was basically Taylor had 75. That's still the higher watermark. The interesting thing when I was going through stats this week, the Browns, one of the highest teams in allowing touchdowns once teams are in the red zone. It's just the fact that teams don't get there a lot. But once they do, it was like a 90%. When it's goal to go inside the 10, like 90% teams are scoring touchdowns on them. It's like you remember the Giants? When the Giants used to be trash last year, but all of a sudden when they got inside the 10, they locked down and everybody was kicking field goals. It's basically inverse Giants. It's like you can't get to the inside the 10, but once you do, you're going to score.
You're going to score. A red zone defense is not great, I guess, in Cleveland. But to me, that just says, you know, if the Steelers get inside the red zone, I think that they're going to use Najee Harris.
Pound the rock.
Yeah, I think he's definitely their short yardage back. And Warren is their home run play in the middle of the field. I think they're moving forward. They're both starting running backs. Like, I really do believe that you can play Warren and Najee. Obviously not together, but you can play these guys. Together is not great. I actually had them together in one league, and it's not fun.
Would you rather start one of the two Steelers, or would you rather start one of the two Rams this week? And between the two Rams... Is it Henderson, and why is Henderson the answer?
Yeah, it's Henderson.
Henderson. Freeman looks better carrying the ball. But it's the answer I keep giving. I want the one catching passes.
Exactly.
And the only one catching passes is Henderson. It's like they're RB3s. I'm not excited about either one of them.
Yeah.
But
I agree. You know what? I've watched closely because I have had Henderson in a league, and I've watched how it's worked out the past couple weeks, and I saw Henderson dropped everywhere, and I picked him up where I could and said, maybe I'll have to play this guy as a flex or something. But he is catching the passes. It's been no rhyme or reason for it. It's just been split inside the red zone. I've seen both guys get red zone carries.
I don't know why the way that you phrased that.
I don't know.
Made me think of Starfire from Teen Titans. He is catching of the passes. Just the way she talked. For that small group of, look, if you're listening to me, like, you probably watched Teen Titans at some point. So
I can't say.
Did you? I'm assuming you haven't. Like, no, this Starfire is from another planet, so she talks with that stilted, like, the translation of English. So he is the catching of the passes, almost like Russian, like that kind of thing. But anyway, I completely sidebar off the rails over here.
I'm sure somebody out there,
somebody in the world, the 1% of you listen. Fox just popped up in the chat. Yep. There you go.
Fox usually appreciates it. Yeah,
Foxy appreciates it. Let's go back to two concerns. I want to talk Derrick Henry. How concerned are you for Derrick Henry? That was only his third single-digit game. It was only his third game of, like, being really kind of terrible. And I know the usage is there, like, inconsistently, but he's still, when he's getting the ball, when he's on the field, he gets the ball. It's just the snaps keep going not what it used to be for Henry. Or how concerned are you for Henry if he's your running back down the stretch?
The matchups are okay. You know, Carolina, Indy, you know, Seattle, if assuming that you get to week 16. You mentioned the Texans, Houston, Seattle, and Houston, like, back in the day. I mean, well, historically, you just look at his last few games against the Texans. Like, this is a guy who not only tops 100, he gets like 200. Yeah, he gets to like 200 rushing yards. So, I think how you said it was how it is. Like, he hasn't been super efficient this year.
I'm setting you up for something here. So, we have a major concern for Saquon Barkley, who is now saddled to Tommy DeVito. Well, no, so this is where I'm going with it. I'm seeing a lot of questions. People are like, what's the lowest running back? This is the way they're phrasing it. What's the lowest running back you would trade Saquon Barkley for? What's the lowest wide receiver you would trade Saquon Barkley for? Is there a war? Like, Meanie, if you had to pick one, would you send Saquon Barkley and take Derrick Henry, knowing you're getting Henry? Yes, because you're getting Henry on the cheap, only his third bad game, and then you just mentioned it. Texans, Seahawks, Texans to finish out the season. When December is Derrick Henry month, everybody. Like, forget Black Friday, forget shopping, forget Christmas. It's Derrick Henry month. That's December.
And I wasn't trying to be just super hard on Saquon the player when we talked in the series show. I had him in the 20s last week. I had him as a sit. A lot of people said, you have to start Saquon Barkley. You're crazy. He's the heartbeat of the offense. What offense? They're not moving the football. Dallas had more points than the Giants had yards in the first half of that game last week. And you're lucky that Saquon ended up with 66 rushing yards and 6 fantasy points is what he got you. So this is a bad situation. I love Saquon the talent. He's arguably one of the most talented players. It's not what we're talking about. The situation is as worse as it can be. The matchups coming forward, there's like some brutal matchups. You want to start him against the Eagles come playoff time? You're not even going to get to the playoffs. So I would Pacheco, Rashad White,
I'm disappointed
Derrick Henry.
Right now.
There's a lot of running backs that I would take over Saquon at the moment.
You said it like 3 times. You could have been like, playoffs. You just
yeah,
playoffs. There you go. That was only Barkley's second single digit score first week. Cowboys are the only games he hasn't scored double digits, and he's only got 2 games with touchdowns. I'm playing devil's advocate here for you.
I know you are.
I'm trying.
Look at that. Saints, Philly, like, no chance. Plus, you got the bye week 13. Like, if you can just move on.
Oh, yeah. After the Commanders, it's Patriots, still respectable. Absolutely. Packers, Saints, Eagles, Rams, Eagles. Well, I guess the last Eagles don't really matter. But, by the way,
some lunatic out there playing to week 18.
Can the same people that need to fix the schedule and get the Jets off the 2 island games, Black Friday and their Thursday night football, like, let's eliminate that. Can we get the Giants, Eagles off, like, Christmas?
Oh, didn't you hear that Rodgers coming back?
Oh yeah, can we at least get the Giants and Eagles off Christmas then? Can we stop with that? Why are they even trying? You know what? The NFL is bullies. You know why? Because you know what Christmas Day is, right? It's the unofficial official start to the NBA season. Like, that's when people care about the NBA. Christmas Day is NBA. I understand if Christmas falls on a Sunday, but throwing those games out there like it's Thanksgiving on Christmas, like, the NFL is just being a bully at this point. They're just being dicks.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's when people, the loose NBA fans, decide chuck it on in the background. There's 5 games on the NBA. Oh, the NBA has been going on for 3
months. That's
kind
of the start of the season. Like, nobody's really this in-season tournament or whatever it is.
But that's why they have it, to try to get people to care about the NBA at this point of the season.
Yeah. But nobody cares. Christmas. No, it's like Christmas is here. NBA is here. Like the commercials essentially kind of acknowledge that. Like,
they do, yeah. They do.
Like, have you?
I'm all about an Eagles game on Christmas. I dig it, of course.
Oh yeah, that's because it's your team. There, it's actually a good team. Aaron Jones versus Saquon Barkley. See, man, somebody's gonna be gross. Hi, Barkley. Look, Sharon is talking.
Is it Barkley? Aw,
I just popped up over here.
Like, I gotta pick Barkley now.
No,
it's like we're talking about Barkley, Saquon. Aaron Jones too. I would probably go Aaron Jones. I think there's a little bit of a higher ceiling. I think there's a little bit of a higher ceiling here with, believe it or not, the Packers offense. But I do have to take a double. Yeah, you got the Giants. Play the Chargers. Detroit's tough. KC's tough. The Giants, Bucks. It's not ideal, but, you know, it's a guy getting 20 opportunities. Man, last week was brutal again for him.
Yeah.
What a rough year. He's got 2 games of double-digit points.
So it hasn't been healthy either. And then last week was supposed to be fine. It was like he was supposed to be back to normal, and then it was disappointing. And why was there so much A.J. Dillon? Like, I don't get it. And it's A.J. Dillon passing downs and two-minute drills, and I'm like, what the hell?
I noticed the same thing a couple weeks ago, and I talked about it on Mean Streets. I said, if you can get rid of A.J. Dillon because LaFleur is out to lunch at the moment, because I do believe that A.J. Dillon is a goal line back, but I saw him on two-minute drills like you did, and I saw him on third down situations. He had like a 45, 50-yard catch, I think, a couple of weeks ago that got them going in a game. But the one thing, I guess, looking at Jones is he does have 3 games in a row with 4 catches. So that is – at least he's catching passes, but it's nowhere near the
– Well, now they got the zooms. Now we're going to get Rogers all connection. Set. We got a few minutes to go. Can you not chill down? Chill down. Chill out. Chill down, relax, settle
Saquon,
down.
Just fire it up. I'd be fired up, too, playing stuff behind that offensive line.
Let's get to the wide receivers as we get out of here, because we got a few that we want to talk about. No T. Higgins again. Brought this up last week, and not on the show because it wasn't official at that time, but week 5 when Higgins was out, that was a Trenton Irwin game. But stylistically, going against the Ravens are a lot like your Eagles. The one area of vulnerability they've shown in the passing game has been to slot wide receivers, which is why I don't think that Tyler Boyd's going to go off as much as he did last week. But if I'm leaning Boyd versus Irwin, I'm actually going to go Boyd for back-to-back weeks. Are you in agreement there?
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. All right. Then let's continue to move on for more wide receivers. Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. George Pickens had that one game when Deontay came back and is like, ooh, it's going to unlock George Pickens. Nothing since. A lot of it has to do with Kenny Pickett. Deontay Johnson had his first bad game since he came back. And people are like already panicking. Like, it was his first bad game. And it has to do with Kenny Pickett, too. But this week, we go back to the Steelers game against the Browns. Who would you start between the two? Why is it Deontay Johnson? And how far down the list is Deontay Johnson? Is he even a wide receiver 3 for you this week?
Is a low end. I think I get him like 35, 36. There's a big, big talking point in Pittsburgh. The ball, like Pickens not being able to get the ball and how he should be incorporated in the offense more. But it's what you said. It's Kenny Pickett. It's a run first offense with 2 running backs that we talked a little bit about. It's Tomlin probably in the offensive coordinator not trusting Kenny Pickett. And how could you trust him in this situation against the Browns? And this defense is absolutely legit. So I would play Deontay's the only guy. Then it's just hopefully Pickens can get him the ball. Pickett can get him the ball. I really love George Pickens, man. Can we get this guy in a new team in a couple of years? Or can the Steelers try to get a new quarterback in a couple of years? Because the defense certainly is great. And Pickens is a man. He's a superstar player, I think. And Deontay's a great separator. They should have some. They would be a Super Bowl contending squad with above average quarterback.
I will say that I will victory lap that. I am golden when it comes to saying quarterbacks. Like,
oh yeah, you're all over that.
Daniel Jones was going to be terrible. Kenny Pickett was going to be terrible. Mac Jones was going to be terrible. Zach Wilson's going to be terrible. It seems the NFL has a type that doesn't work out. Like, can we stop with these dudes? Can we just? We're going to go right back to
a lot of terrible quarterbacks.
Oh, his last name, I just spaced on it. I was doing way early, kind of looking at quarterbacks from last year. The Duke kid, Leonard. Like, it's just another one. Can we stop? Please. Why are we thinking he's going to be a first-round pick? Anyway, would you go Noah Brown or Deontay Johnson this week? Assuming Nico Collins is back.
I would. I thought you were going to say.
I go Noah Brown.
Out.
Still.
Yeah, still. I still think I would, too. Yeah, the way that C.J. Stroud is playing football in this matchup against Arizona, it's been two really solid. The ceiling is definitely higher at this moment.
If you had to pick one between Quentin Johnston or Jalen Guyton, who would you pick this week?
I would pick Guyton, man. Ugh. I still think Quentin Johnston's pretty raw, what you said. I mean, he scored the touchdown, but right away when Keenan Allen came out of that game, they drew up a play for Guyton and he scored a touchdown. And you can see Moore and Herbert, like, they're laughing. They're like, you know, it's coming. Like, we were planning on this one. You know, we practiced this one all week. We had an opportunity. I think that Guyton is, like, part of their plans. Like, I think he's,
like,
going to be involved.
I don't want to, like, we're talking about one of the better corners in the game. Actually, one of the best corners in the game. But I go back to the previous, and I was like, freaking second skin Sauce Gardner on top of Johnston in that game. Like, just, I get it. I know it's Gardner. So, but at the same time, like, he's wearing him. Like, just separate.
He did Adams, too. Like, oh, he's so good.
How far would you go with Brandon Cooks over the recent somewhat success? Like, I saw him picked up in a lot of leagues. And I still – Dak Prescott's balling out right now. But really, I just don't know that I believe Brandon Cooks is going to be consistently the reliable. I still have him as a wide receiver 4. He could finish top 25, but I don't think any given week. That was actually Brandon Cooks' best game of the season.
Oh, man, not even close. I mean, I suppose he had a couple games of double-digit fantasy points because he scored touchdowns, but he didn't have a game with over 4 grabs or a game with 50 yards before that, and he had 9 for $173. He's been in the dumpster pile, I guess. I'll take a page out of your columns over at the Athletic.
Dumpsville.
He's been in that one for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks for me, but the way that Dak is playing and the way that this schedule is shaped up after Carolina, Washington, Seattle, and Philly, I know he was shut down against the Eagles, and they're going to have to figure out when they play each other again, they're going to have to figure out something because CeeDee Lamb is just unstoppable. They're going to have to triple him. Maybe that will leave some throws for
Remember
Cooks,
the beginning but... this season when the conversation about CeeDee Lamb was like, if it's ever going to be top tier for him?
He's been unbelievable over the last 4 or 5
years.
Here's
one for
you. Unreal.
I want to throw this out because it's an interesting question. People are worried about Justin Jefferson coming back from injury 1-2, now playing for a quarterback that he hasn't been able to play with. There's risk. He's still the number one potential wide receiver in the game. Also, I'm pulling another name into this, Tyreek Hill, because of the schedule. For everybody out there that doesn't know, they get the Jets, Cowboys, and Ravens to finish out the year. Tua, Waddle, and Hill have the toughest go. By far. It's not even close how ridiculous that schedule is. But Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson versus, because we're like, should I trade him away because of that risk? And I'm like, unless you can get A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, or CeeDee Lamb, I'm not trading them.
No.
Would you?
Maybe Keenan, too, but that's it.
I would need a second piece for Keenan.
Yeah, I would try to.
Okay, so we're still talking about them as, like, even with those concerns, they're still the tier above everybody else, right?
Yeah, they are. And this happened last year with Tyreek Hill, had him in a lot of spots, and the playoff schedule is extremely tough. I mean, I think he played the Bills and the Pats, and he was just okay. And I get it. You know, he's matchup proof, and he is to a certain extent, but those are really tough matchups, and it's all about Tua being able to get the ball to him, right? But, you play him, if you can get him off of somebody because they're worried about the matchups, you definitely do it because he's a cheat code. Jefferson, I am a touch worried. I don't think he's going to play this week, which is good. I think you want him to wait another week or two. You have
really?
Him for the,
I thought it was,
for the playoffs. Yeah. I thought it's just Schefter came up yesterday and said he's kind of treading in a different direction, but I guess we'll wait and see.
Tuesdays are my morning till bedtime work, so like I might have missed a piece in there here and there. Wednesdays, like, we have to wait till Thursdays at this point, too, because so many players 100%. Don't practice on Wednesdays anymore. So last thing being that I want to talk about the Rams as we get out of here, because is it as simple for you that Matthew Stafford – there's no way Matthew Stafford's not playing, right? Like, you don't get rid of Brett Rippon and bring in Carson Wentz and in one straight week go to Carson Wentz, assuming that Stafford's going to play. But yeah. I think they now have a backup plan in case something happens in-game. But Cooper Kupp, 2 disappointing games before the bye – Puka Nacua had a bit of a drop off. Are you keeping them in your lineup? Like, it's just like, are you really going to think about it much?
I'm just going to play them.
Okay, then Nacua.
My guy Kupp is a low end wide receiver too, and Nacua is like a kind of a low end wide receiver too.
Nacua versus Adam Thielen. Right? Who would you play this week? Because Adam Thielen went from being wide receiver 1 to being wide receiver 3-4 range the past couple games. But again, you know, it's Bryce Young as part of it. Is the ride done? Did we just, like, put this one aside?
I think it's done. The targets and the volume is still there. Like 10 targets you love to see last week, 11. He's had double-digit targets in every game but four this year. But teams are just not getting fooled anymore. Like if you're a team facing Carolina, you take away Adam Thielen. That's it. It's that simple. They got no run game.
I actually think the run game is part of the problem too.
100%. They can't run the ball. The play calling is questionable. They're not letting Bryce Young throw the football 10 yards down the field. So the targets are still going to be there. The volume is definitely going to be there.
Like, I want Jonathan Mingo to be a thing because the starting, the snaps, the can't, like everything's there, but he is top five in his targets being off target from Bryce Young. This throwing downfield thing. You know what the interesting thing is? Do you know 1 in 3 is? Teammates. Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman are 1 in 3 on off targets. Sandwiched in between is Jalen Hyatt of the Giants.
And I actually think we're going to see an uptick here in the second half for Beckham. Is a couple, like, really? He seems healthy at the moment. Because I've always been Team Flowers. But over the last couple games, I've noticed that Beckham looks a little bit close to old Beckham. He's never going to be old peak Beckham anymore. But
would have been Monday because they had a day off. He would have been chilling on a boat. And then everybody would get pissed off about him because he enjoyed his day off.
Well done. Well done.
Anyway, hopefully you enjoy this. Hopefully you can follow Chris Meany. At Chris Meany, my voice sounds like it's starting to go. I'm like struggling over here. I know. What is that? We'll talk in January.
Christmas. We'll sleep Christmas. During the NBA
I'll
games.
Sleep during the NBA games. Perfect. There you go. We had the same joke. At Chris Meany, at All In Kid. Good luck in week 11. You can tweet it at us and ask us more questions. We'll hopefully help you out. We love you. All right, Barkley. Thank you.